How's it going, folks? You are very welcome to A History of Change, the podcast. In this episode, we are going to look at examining sources, specifically focusing on the strength and weakness of each type of source. So, when, you know, as historians, we must be mindful that the sources we use when learning about the past are accurate and reliable. We must look at who created the source, when it was created, and what the context behind the source is or was. Now, there's a number of things we must watch out for when examining historical sources. We're going to go through these now. The first is bias. So bias is when someone selectively chooses information that supports and strengthens their own view and ignores opposing views. So for example, if I was trying to convince you to support Manchester United, and I'm going to say they're the best team in the world, I might only show you results where Manchester United have won matches. Okay, to make you believe that they're the best team in the world, and I'll ignore all the other maybe bad results. Okay, so it usually occurs when a source is trying to convince you to agree or follow their viewpoint. To try and avoid being caught out by bias, as historians, we'll try and study multiple different sources to get a balanced and fair perspective on the past. A second thing we must be mindful of is propaganda. So propaganda is information that's designed to shape what people think. So in the past, you know, evil governments and dictators would have put out particular messages in newspapers to try and convince people of a certain belief. Okay, and it does this by highlighting one side and making another side look bad. And it uses biased content, so one-sided content, to try and do this. A third thing we must be mindful of, and this is a good thing, is objectivity. So an objective source is one that is written in a clear and neutral way. It is not biased. It doesn't contain, you know, the writer or author's emotions or opinions. It's based on facts and facts alone. Okay, so a fact could be something like, you know, you arrived to school yesterday at 9 a.m. That's a fact that did happen. Okay, so an objective source is a source that contains lots of facts that are true. Subjectivity then. A source that is, I suppose, a subjective source is one that contains the beliefs and opinions and emotions of the author. So it's a source that's usually biased, okay? So for example, if I wrote a book, and I was writing a book talking about how great Manchester United are, that is my belief. I'm using my opinion and putting my emotions into that, okay? And that's a subjective source, all right? Now, it's important that we can identify these things. We can identify, you know, what someone's, you know, the difference between someone's opinion and maybe a true fact. So these are important things to try and look out for. So folks, we are now going to take a more in-depth look at the different historical sources that you will be using. Okay, and we're going to look at the strengths and the weaknesses of each type of source. So the first source we're going to look at is a written source, okay? A written source is anything that's written down. It can be a newspaper, a book, a diary entry, a letter. An example is the book My Fight for Irish Freedom by Dan Breen. What's the strength of a written source then? Well, they give valuable sources of information. They give very detailed accounts of events. They give personal perspectives and official records. They help us to understand the thoughts, motivations, and decisions from people in the past. Now, what's a weakness of a written source? Well, think of what we spoke about earlier. Authors may have personal agendas. They might have their own beliefs, opinions, and emotions in the source. Sometimes sources can be censored or changed over time. Sometimes as well, not everything was written down in the past, leaving gaps in the historical record. The second type of source we're now going to look at is a visual source, okay? So this is things that we can see, okay? And these can include paintings, photographs, maps, and illustrations. An example could include the Mona Lisa painting. Now, what's the strength of these? Well, they give us a powerful insight into the past. They provide details about clothing, architecture, technology, and the environment. So we can see what these things look like. We can see what type of clothing people wore, what their technology looked like, true pictures and paintings from the past. Now, what's a weakness of a visual source? So images can be manipulated or staged. Believe it or not, people have been photoshopping paintings and photographs for a long, long time. Paintings as well sometimes are dramatized. They're made to look, kind of dramatic and they might not depict events accurately. Visual sources don't provide any context. So for example, if I show you a painting of the Mona Lisa without any background information, you might know who it is or who painted it or when it came from. So a visual source does not really tell us the big picture as to what was going on at the time. The third type of evidence is aural evidence. So these are things that we can hear that are usually recorded. An example of this could be a recorded interview with an Irish-Canadian person in Newfoundland in Canada. Now, a strength of an aural source, okay, is that it provides a direct link to the voices and sounds of the past. So think, if you look at my example I mentioned, an Irish-Canadian person in Newfoundland in Canada. So there's videos on YouTube of people of Irish descent who live in that region in Canada, and they've got a very particular accent. They've got a very strong Irish accent because so many Irish people moved over there. We can get a sense of a person's emotions when we hear them speak as well. So we can understand different accents, dialects, and the emotions of people. Now, this also prevents challenges. So weaknesses could be interpretation. These can be difficult because accents and languages can change over time. So languages, you know, get manipulated and changed over time. Oral histories may also be influenced by memory and perspective, and the narrator could be biased. So if you're listening to an interview with someone from maybe 100 years ago, you know, their perspective on things could be different to now, or their, you know, it's important that we don't take their opinion and their beliefs at face value, that we consult other sources too. The fourth type of evidence then is oral evidence. And these, similar to aural evidence, they're things that we can hear, but the difference is oral evidence are things that we hear through word of mouth. An example could be a story told to you by a grandparent or older relative. Now, what's the strength of this? Well, I suppose they're passed down through generations and they give us valuable insights into the past. They provide us with different perspectives that are often missing from written sources. So very often, things that you hear from that are passed down to you aren't really written down, okay? It could be someone's personal experience that's not, a widely known fact. Now, a weakness, of course, is an oral source can be less precise and misleading with each retelling. So if your grandparent tells you a story, and then you go and tell that to your friend, your version might have changed slightly. And it might not be that you're doing it intentionally, it's just how you might not remember it 100% and you might interpret it a bit differently and then pass it down a bit differently to the next person. And as that continues, the story becomes less and less accurate. Okay. Also, the personal opinion of the person telling the story can also have an impact on it. The final piece of evidence we're going to look at is tactile evidence. Okay, so these are things that we could hold or touch. Okay, an example of this could be an arrowhead found in an archaeological dig. Another example could be a building. So tactile evidence are physical artifacts such as pottery, tools, weapons, clothing, and archaeological remains. They provide a concrete evidence of past civilizations. And they tell us a lot about the technology, trade, warfare, and daily life. So holding the weapons, the tools, touching the buildings, it gives us a physical understanding of these old civilizations. Now, again, a weakness. It doesn't tell us about the big picture at the time. If I had to give you an old arrowhead and didn't tell you anything about it, it would be very difficult for you, unless you were an expert, to understand and interpret where that came from. Also, studying artifacts and things we can hold or touch requires expertise and technology, which means it's difficult to accurately piece together the past from fragments of physical objects. The final thing we're going to look at in this episode, guys, is grouping our sources. So our sources can be broadly placed into two groups. A primary source is a first-hand account or item from the period being studied, and it was created by somebody who was there at the time. So for example, If you have a school journal, you're recording your homework, you're recording things like maybe good notes or negative notes in your journal. If someone was to find that in 100 years' time, that would be a primary source because that's your journal and you're recording key information about your time in school in that journal. Other primary sources can include things like letters, photographs, diaries, newspapers, poems, buildings, and posters. Secondary sources then are sources that were created after the event being studied. For example, this textbook you are using is a secondary source because it was written after the events that are covered in it. Other examples of secondary sources could include a podcast, a film like Gladiator 2, a website, social media pages, and journal articles.